Okay, let's unpack this. You know that feeling when you're looking at a really big piece of work, maybe a master's thesis, and it just feels overwhelming. Like, where do you even start to get a handle on it?
Absolutely. It can feel like a mountain.
Exactly. Well, think of this deep dive as your audio roadmap. We're going into François Prévost's master thesis. It's called AI Alchemy, Exploring Opportunities for Generative AI in New Product Development. Consider this your shortcut to, getting the gist of it all.
And it's fascinating work. François finished this at Delft University of Technology, TU Delft, back in May 2025. His main focus is really how generative AI can, well, fit into the process of creating new products.
Right.
And he tackles that big question: is AI going to replace designers, or is it more about augmenting what they do, helping them work better?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we're doing this. Our goal here is by the end, you'll have a really solid grip on Prévost's main arguments, the key concepts he uses, his findings, and, the big takeaways.
We want to arm you with the understanding you need to really grasp the thesis, even if you haven't read it yet.
So the mission today, a clear, hopefully engaging overview of François Prévost's thesis. Whether you plan to read the whole thing or you're just curious about AI and product development.
Then this should be your guide. We'll highlight the really important stuff you found.
Okay, let's get into the core of it. Prévost's work, it's not just guesswork, right? He builds on some pretty solid theoretical ideas. Where does he start?
Well, he lays down a few key theoretical frameworks first. A big one is bounded rationality. That comes from Herbert Simon.
Ah, Simon, okay.
And it's super relevant for a place like Bugaboo, where François did his research, because things move fast. The idea is basically that designers, when they make decisions, they're working with limits,
Limits like what?
like limited time, maybe not having all the information, and just, limited brain power to process everything perfectly. So instead of finding the absolute best solution, they often
Satisfies, meaning.
meaning they find a solution that's good enough given the constraints. Not necessarily the ultimate optimum, but one that works.
Okay, that makes total sense in the real world. Deadlines, pressure, you can't explore every single avenue. What else?
Then he brings in expandable rationality from Hatchell and also CK theory, which is Hatchell and Weil. These suggest design isn't just choosing from existing options.
Right.
It's more dynamic. It's like moving between two spaces. There's the conceptual space, C space, which is all about new, maybe unproven ideas.
Okay.
And then there's the knowledge space, K space, which holds all the established facts, constraints, things we know work.
C and K.
And the really cool part is when a new concept gets validated, it actually expands the K space, our knowledge grows. Prévost argues that generative AI can act like a co-explorer in that C
A
space.
co-explorer, helping find completely new paths.
Exactly. Helping designers think beyond just variations on what they already know, kind of pushing into the unknown.
Interesting. So AI isn't just crunching data, it's potentially sparking new concepts. How does that connect to the actual, like, day-to-day design work?
Good question. To bridge that, he uses the uncertainty-driven action model, the UDA model, from Cash and Cray. This model says designers basically have three main ways they respond to uncertainty in the process.
Three ways.
First, there's information action, actively seeking out more data, reducing the unknowns. Then, representation action, making ideas tangible, like sketches, prototypes, models.
Making it real.
Exactly. And third, reflective action, stepping back, evaluating progress, learning from what they've done.
Information, representation, reflection. Sounds like a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But Francois took this further based on what he saw at Bugaboo.
He did. Based on actually watching the designers work there, he developed a simpler model he calls Frame, Propose, Evaluate, FPE.
FPE? Okay.
He suggests the design process cycles through these three actions. Framing is about understanding the problem that relies heavily on information action.
Makes
Proposing is generating ideas that uses representation action. And evaluating those ideas involves reflective action.
Got it. Frame, propose, evaluate.
And a key insight he points out is that uncertainty, while maybe slowing things down, actually creates space. Space for clarity, for better decisions. It's not just a roadblock.
That's an interesting take on uncertainty. So, with these theories and the FPE model in place, how did he actually go about investigating AI's role at Bugaboo? What was the method?
He used action design research, or ADR. That approach, Sain and others outlined it in 2011, is really good when you want to not just study a technology, but also develop it and see how it works within an organization. In this case, Bugaboo.
So, hands-on research.
Very hands-on. ADR usually has two main phases, and the goal is to end up with a formalization of learning. Basically figuring out what was learned from the whole process.
Okay, so what were those two phases for Francois?
Phase one was opportunity formulation. The goal here was to pinpoint where AI could actually make a difference in Bugaboo's product development.
Finding the pain points.
Exactly. He did this by combining field work, actually shadowing designers, seeing their workflows with using that FPE model as a lens. Plus, he ran a workshop with the designers themselves.
Talking directly to them.
Yep. To understand their challenges, friction points, and where they thought AI might help. He also noted their culture getting valued autonomy, hands-on making, seeing user impact.
And the challenges they faced.
Things like waiting for decisions, getting stuck on early ideas, creative fixation barriers to quick prototyping, and dealing with all the compliance stuff.
Regulations, always a big one. So phase one identified the opportunities. What happened in phase two?
Phase two was the building intervention evaluation part. This is where Francois, working with the Bugaboo team, actually developed and then put into practice three specific generative AI tools.
Three bespoke tools?
Yeah, custom built. And each one was designed to line up with a stage of that FPE model frame, propose, evaluate, and support one of those uncertainty reducing actions we talked about earlier.
Okay, this sounds really interesting. Tell us about these tools. What do they do?
All right, the first one was called Insight GPT. This was aimed at the frame phase, supporting information action. Think of it like a conversational AI research assistant.
You could talk to it.
Pretty much. It could quickly synthesize research findings, generate really dynamic user personas, even with AI images, and help spot patterns and data.
Wow. Personas, too.
Yeah, adaptive personas, demographics, motivations, fears, behaviors. You could even simulate talking to the persona, ask it scenario-based questions, and it had context memory. It could also help with desk research.
So what were the results? Did it help?
He found it definitely sped up synthesizing qualitative data. The living personas helped designers build empathy, and it was useful for triangulating insights.
But there were limitations.
Oh, sure. It couldn't really reframe the problem on its own. Sometimes it gave too much information. Big one.
Right.
It was very dependent on the quality of the prompts.
Garbage in, garbage out, kinda.
A bit like that, yeah. And it could sometimes just reinforce existing assumptions if you weren't careful. The designer's acceptance, based on the technology acceptance model, or TAM, was moderate to high. They saw the use early on, but had some reservations about ease of use, especially needing good prompting skills.
Okay, so Insight GPT for framing the problem. What about generating the actual design ideas, the propose phase?
That's where the second tool, Create, came in. This focused on the propose phase and representation action. It basically combined text-to-image generation using Midjourney mainly with some help for writing the prompts.
Text-to-image, so creating pictures from descriptions.
Exactly. It used a system called PromptGPT through a platform called KREA to help structure the prompts really well, including things like brand language, design intent, keywords, style, even waiting terms or excluding things.
So better prompts for better images.
That was the idea. Use KREA for initial variations, then Midjourney for refining things like form language, surface details, brand colors, materials, finish the CMF.
And the benefits of Create.
Faster divergence, exploring way more visual ideas quickly. More structured visual exploration. It helped get stakeholders aligned earlier because they had visuals to react to. It could help break designers out of being fixated on one idea.
Yeah, I can see that being useful.
And even turning rough sketches into more fleshed out concepts. But again, limitations.
What were they for creating?
It struggled sometimes with really structured refinement, getting specific details just right. Keeping brand elements consistent, like logos or specific materials, could be tricky. And sometimes just the sheer number of images could be overwhelming, leading to decision fatigue.
Too many options.
Potentially, yeah. The TAM score was generally strong, but people noted the sensitivity to prompts, the variability in outputs, and that the images were still quite conceptual.
Right, not final designs. So we have Insight GPT for framing, Create for proposing. What about the third tool for the evaluate phase?
That was Rules GPT. This supported the evaluate phase and reflective action. It was an AI assistant trained specifically on regulatory documents relevant to Bugaboo's products, juvenile products.
Tackling the compliance challenge directly.
Exactly. Designers could ask it questions about regulations in plain English. It would process the query, find relevant rules, retrieve the specific clause, document title, even a link, and extract the requirements or test methods.
That sounds incredibly useful. Dealing with regulations can be such a slog.
It definitely sped up finding compliance info. It made the regulations more actionable, giving human-readable summaries, and it empowered designers to do their own initial checks.
Any downsides to RulesGPT?
The main ones were occasional inconsistencies. Asking similar questions might get slightly different answers. And it had a tendency to always give an answer, even if its confidence wasn't super high.
Maybe careful there.
Definitely. But the TAM score was strong overall. Designers were enthusiastic about help with early compliance research, though they had some reservations about its scope and reliability for every single situation.
Okay, so three distinct tools addressing different stages. Looking at the whole picture, what were the big overarching findings from Francois's research with these tools?
One of the most striking things was how AI changed the rhythm of the design process. Things moved faster. Loops of iteration overlapped more.
Faster, more fluid.
Yeah, but interestingly, it didn't fundamentally change the structure, that frame and propose evaluate model. It basically held up. The core activities were still there.
So the what didn't change, but the how and when did.
Precisely. And there's a noticeable shift in where designers spent their effort. Less time on some manual tasks like digging through research or initial sketching.
And more time on.
More time on things like interpreting the AI outputs, refining prompts to get better results, and discussing the AI-generated options with stakeholders to make decisions. More higher-level cognitive work.
So AI handled some of the groundwork, freeing up designers for interpretation and strategy.
That's a good way to put it. Francois emphasizes that AI definitely expanded the breadth of exploration, more ideas, more information processed. But it didn't replace the need for depth, the empirical validation, the human judgment needed to ensure quality and relevance.
Depth still requires humans.
Absolutely. And he highlighted some key competencies that become even more important now. Things like prompt literacy, knowing how to talk to the AI effectively.
Right. We saw that with InsightGPT and Create.
Exactly. Also, editorial judgment, being able to sift through potentially lots of AI output and pick out what's valuable. And crucially, iterative validation, constantly checking the AI's suggestions against real-world tests and user feedback.
These sound like crucial skills for designers moving forward. Did Francois boil down these findings into some practical advice, like guiding principles?
Yes, he did. He came up with 10 guiding principles for integrating AI responsibly in design.
10 principles.
Okay.
Let's hear some highlights.
Well, one is to start early. Use AI where uncertainty is highest. Another key one, prompt with precision. AI only knows what you tell it.
Garbage in, garbage out again.
Pretty much. Also, let AI show options, but humans make the final decisions. Use AI to think wider, but rely on human expertise for the fine details, the precision.
So breadth versus depth again.
Exactly. And critically, don't confuse AI speed with truth. Always validate the outputs. Remember, the human context AI doesn't have real-world grounding.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Challenge what AI reflects back at you. Prompt for diverse views. Balance the divergence AI offers with human-led convergence. Maintain human oversight for trust and accountability. And the last one really sums it up. Focus on augmentation, not automation of creativity.
Augmentation, not automation. That seems key. These principles sound really practical. Yeah. Did he also suggest how a company like Bugaboo could actually roll this out more broadly? A roadmap?
He did. He proposed a three-phase strategic roadmap for scaling up AI adoption.
Okay, what are the phases?
Phase one, the short term, say 0 to 6 months, is all about building readiness. That means aligning AI strategy with clear business needs, making foundational investments, talent, infrastructure, budget, and creating a safe space for experimentation, collaboration, getting the data ready.
Laying the groundwork.
Exactly. Then the medium term, maybe 6 to 18 months, is about embedding AI into workflows and decisions, integrating it into project planning, building core AI-ready data assets, making it part of the culture by showing tangible benefits, and setting up iterative governance, like an evolving playbook and ethical guidelines.
So making it standard practice. And the long term?
Long term, beyond 18 months, is about scaling for strategic advantage, focusing on more transformative AI applications, fostering continuous learning as AI evolves, really measuring the impact, and building that culture of critical augmentation he talks about.
Critical augmentation, I like that term. Now, all research has limits. Mm-hmm. What did Francois point out as limitations for his study, and where does he think future research could go?
He was clear that this was context-specific juvenile products at Bugaboo and done within the time frame of his internship.
Right. Not a years-long study.
No. So for future research, he suggested things like longitudinal studies, seeing how AI use evolves over much longer periods. Comparative research across different industries would also be valuable.
See how it differs elsewhere.
Yeah. Also, really formalizing prompt literacy. How do we teach and measure that skill? digging deeper into the ethical implications, and studying how designers' roles themselves are changing in these AI-augmented workflows. Lots to explore still.
Definitely sounds like it.
Yeah.
So let's try to wrap this up for listeners wanting the core message of Francois' thesis. What are the absolute key takeaways?
I think the main message is this. Generative AI can be a really powerful augmenting tool in new product development, especially early on. It can speed up exploration, offer new perspectives, but it's not a replacement for human expertise. You still absolutely need humans for the framing, the critical evaluation, ensuring ethical outcomes, making sure it's contextually relevant. AI changes the rhythm, maybe makes it faster, more iterative.
But not the fundamental structure or the need for human judgment.
Exactly. It's about collaboration, augmentation, not handing over the reins entirely. Human creativity and insight remain central.
That's a really clear distillation. It sounds like Prevost's thesis provides a valuable, nuanced look at how AI and human designers can, and probably should, work together.
I think so too. And it really leaves us with a provocative thought, doesn't it?
Yeah.
As AI keeps evolving at this incredible pace.
Yeah.
How is our actual understanding of design creativity going to change? What new kinds of human AI collaborations will emerge that we can't even quite picture yet, shaping the products of tomorrow?
That's something to chew on. It's that balance, isn't it? Leveraging AI without losing the essential human touch.
Finding that balance is key.
Well, if you listening want to go even deeper into all this, we really encourage you to check out Francois Prevost's full master thesis. Again, it's AI Alchemy, Exploring Opportunities for Generative AI in New Product Development. It's a fantastic read on this whole intersection of tech and design.
Definitely worth exploring.
Thanks for taking this deep dive with us today.